When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guy's director of recruiting, Kedrick Prince. We are looking at a very good 76-50 victory that the Illini put up on a Nebraska team that is famous for their defense. And in the second half in particular, Illinois shot a blistering 58%. It's really hard to stop a team that does that. But at the same time, they held Nebraska to 38% shooting. And that's a tough combination to beat. Mr. Sturdy, what were your thoughts watching the game?
You know, this is a team that still struggles to shoot the ball. They shot 27.6% from three, 46% overall. Even in the second half, we were talking about how well they shot the ball, and they were 4 of 13 from 3. So, but they were 14 of 18 from inside the arc, and I think that's the key. But here's the deal. When you don't shoot the ball well, that's when you got to get those plays where you get offensive rebounds. They had 13 offensive rebounds, 17 second chance points. They also forced turnovers. They had 17 Nebraska turnovers leading to 16 Illinois points, and they had 12 fast break points. So if you're not going to shoot the ball well, And you have games where you don't do that, you got to defend and you got to find ways to get points. And they found ways with offensive rebounds, with forcing turnovers, getting runouts, all those things. And that's really, it was really special. I love the ball movement, but you know, they're still not a great shooting team. But if you can win, if you can defend and you do those little things, you can still win a lot of games this way. And then when the offense finally, the shots start going in like they did against Wisconsin, you put all this together and you have a good shooting game. Let's say Friday night they shoot the ball well, they're going to win. I mean, because if you do all those little things, you're going to win the games.
Yeah, and I was happy that Michigan State won tonight versus Wisconsin as opposed to if they had lost and Illinois would play them coming off a loss. Ked, what did you think?
Well, the first, 10 minutes, I was concerned if anybody was going to get to 15 points over a half because it was really
a race to 10. I mean, double figures.
Boring. I mean, I was thinking, oh my gosh. And I had a few people text me about the spread. I'm like, Illinois typically doesn't play well in Nebraska. If you go back, even when they had Kofi and Iowa had some special moments for Illinois to win. I guess when I look at the big picture, Nebraska to me and Northwestern are two really good defensive teams. They really are. And obviously I think, and people may disagree and I'm okay with that. I just see a lot of emphasis has been put on how they run the offense in practice. Or maybe the team figured out themselves. The ball really doesn't stick. They're really moving it. And when you move it side to side, it is tough to guard. But what I like now, you know, people who wanted to know what Illinois basketball would look like without Kofi, tonight I really think you saw it because you were able to see, Terrence Shannon, you know, get to the rim and Coleman Hawkins, you know, was able to get to him even though he would kick it out. That's just a different look that they've not had. And it is easier. I know we talked about the percentages of the three. I think a lot of them in the first half, I think they were just some bad-looking threes. I mean, I know RJ Melendez shot a couple air balls, and Coleman shot some from 76 feet. You know, some of them with the shot clock running down. But It appeared like they shot more, you know, that they shot a higher percentage, but they just looked really good moving the ball offensively. That was probably my most, I think I liked the most, because when you spread the floor like that, and then when Fred Hoiberg tried to go zone, you know, they knocked down a couple of shots and then they got layups, he got him out of it. And for all the people who were really, really, really critical of Brad Underwood and what his offense looks like, I'm really curious to know what you think now. I really would love to hear what you think, because that's tough to guard. That the way they run that offense tonight, and actually against Wisconsin. Now, granted, they made shots. I'm not stupid, but it looks good. It looks really good and crisp.
Well, and I think, you know, Jeff Van Gundy was being interviewed by Ryan Russillo, and he said one of the first things you can tell when a coach is doing well is a team plays with high intensity on both ends of the court and shots start falling. And, you know, it seemed like the team played with good intensity most of the game, and then the shots started falling and they became really tough to deal with. Brad, we look at this and it, kind of a rare night. We had five Illini in double digits, led by Terrence Shannon at 25. And then you had Coleman Hawkins at 12, Epps with 10, Melendez and Meyer with 10 as well. Very balanced scoring tonight. Any other offensive thoughts before we kind of talk about the other end of the court?
Well, I mean, I really thought, you know, little things like how about Ty Rogers with four offensive rebounds? Those are the kind of things keep alive. You know, Terrence Shannon had four offensive rebounds. Dane Danger only took one shot, but he made two out of two from the line, which is really the biggest shocker of the night, perhaps. But he made two out of two from the line. And he, his, you know, we can talk about his defense. He had three blocks. He was great defensively in his 16 minutes on Walker, but he was one out of one, but yet had three offensive rebounds, kept balls alive, made both free throws. Still, just what a, you know, really solid 16 minutes he gives you at the five spot. I was really impressed with him. That Ty Rogers did a fantastic job. You know, he doesn't really shoot the ball, but he made two out of four from the line, four offensive rebounds, had an assist, a block, a steal, you know, the thunderous dunk at the end, kind of exclamation point. RJ Melendez coming off the bench looked active offensively, looked more like the guy we expected to see. Still had a couple turnovers, but overall, solid game for him. And I thought Jaden Epps really rebounded. I didn't think he had a very good first half, but I thought he was, you know, he finished with 11 points, 5 out of 6 from floor. I thought he was struggling the first half defensively mostly. But in the second half, he really was sound, did the little things, you know, took, they ran him off 3-point line a little bit. So he took the pull up jumper, knocked him down. So really, really good. I mean, this is a true team effort. I mean, even Sincere Harris, who was, you know, is clearly struggling offensively, he was great on defense. He has three steals and two rebounds and just disrupts the team on the other end. And so, you know, you got him at 20 minutes, which is probably a good number of minutes for him.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Ked, any other offensive thoughts, you know, based on the Illini tonight?
Yeah, I want to start right away with Dane Danger, and I'm going to start with the free throw line. Thoroughly impressed. I don't know. I know I'm not the only guy that saw this. Someone on that staff, I will find out who, worked with Dane Danger and his free throws. I mean, every kid typically has the same demeanor on how they go about doing things, but his release looked more comfortable. They got rid of the hitch. It looked like it had a chance to go in as soon as it released, as soon as it left his hand. Another guy, I mean, I've been really, really pulling for RJ. I mean, like, I thought he's had bad body language early in the season when he was struggling, and there's a guy I really, really want to see do well. And tonight you can see, you know, Coach Underwood talked about how well he had been shooting in practice. You can tell. You can just really, really tell. And I like the fact that he has amnesia. You know, he missed one shot, airballed in, came down, and then he knocked the other one. And Underwood running sets. I talked about this the last podcast, and I'm going to do it again. You know, I'll revert to one play out of a timeout. Underwood drew a play up for Coleman to get a three out, and he was wide open. You know, and maybe Coach Underwood is right, and maybe people like myself should shut up, because he's talked about him being an elite shooter. When Coleman doesn't hesitate, his shot does look different. It's a lot better, and I like the fact that Underwood's not put him in a position where he doesn't have to do that. Someone told him, even the threes he shot from, you know, the logo, it just looked different. If they can get this from Coleman Hawkins all the time and spread the floor with Terrence Shannon, it's great. The last guy I want to talk about, Sincere Harris. Brad's right. He doesn't give you a lot offensively, but what I don't want to see happen is this, because he's too good of a player, is this kid just to come to college and think, okay, yeah, I can score in high school. Now I just want to be a defensive player. I want to see the kid score. I want to see him work on the shot in the offseason. If he's not going to be a great shooter, then when you get around the rim, that little floater, he should be able to give Illinois 8 points a game, I think. If you can get 8 points a game out of him and the way he plays defense and 3 or 4 rebounds, I think that's a bonus. Same with Ty Rogers.
Yeah, and I'll talk one thing offensive. That was the referees. 24 fouls combined in the first half. They ended up, thank God they slowed down. They had 38 for the game. But, you know, it was a first half where both teams were struggling, and the last thing you want to do is prolong it with a boatload of you know, foul shots and clock stoppages. I got to put out another plug here, but the Big Ten, please don't be like the NFL. The NFL has, you know, billions of dollars coming in every year, and they won't pay for full-time officials. Big Ten, you'll have over $1 billion coming. Get full-time officials for men's basketball and for women's basketball and, of course, for football, and maybe even put a fourth referee on the court for basketball. That way, you know, you don't have to get quite so much running for some of these guys. I was not enthused by watching old guys in striped shirts blow whistles.
Mike, I want to tell you this real quick. You know, yep. Just if you don't mind, what was frustrating to me was I think a lot of the calls was made by the same official. I don't know his name, and I think
you Courtney know, you Green. Tweeted,
yes, you see exactly. You tweeted and I retweeted it, but I was tired of seeing two. Was them get away with flops. I thought they were going to get rid of that. I didn't like that part of it. But one guy literally just took over this game, and he had a mission. And I don't know what his, you know, what his agenda was, but, I mean, he made the game boring. Every time, all you do is fall over, and he called a foul. So that, to me, needs to change because, you know, like tonight, Sincere was aggressive defensively, and some of those, you know, they didn't call. Well, against Michigan State, they might. And the reason I'm saying this, it's tough for kids to know how to play defense or to do anything because you don't know how the officials are going to call the game because they're never consistent with it.
Yeah, and I think it's such a cop-out when former players start talking about how, well, it's the player's responsibility to figure out how the refs call in the game, and they can't even figure it out as you know, sitting there next to the game watching it with all their – basketball knowledge. If you're a former player who can't figure out the schizophrenic calls of some old guy who just maybe it's just a breathing problem and he's blowing the whistle that way, I don't know how we can expect the college players to figure out what the heck to do. And I do feel sorry for him. Brad, did you want to chime in on any of the refs, or were you thrilled with them?
Thought they were fantastic. No. Yeah, they were bad. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, they were not very good. I think that they in the first half, you know, it's amazing. You watch second half though. How much more flow did the second half have?
Exactly.
Just because they didn't call all those ticky tack crap fouls. And you know, I'm not saying that some of them aren't fouls. I'm not saying I want them to not call fouls. But at the same time, you can't just call every little thing a foul because you have 24 fouls, and that's nobody wants to watch that. Pray to the free throw line.
Yeah. Well,
so you know, just get the ones that don't affect the play, let them play. You see that a lot in the ACC. They don't call those fouls when they're not affecting the play, you know. And you know that's obviously one of my big concerns about the Big Ten when they get in the tournament. So yep. It's just a different game, and so yeah. But overall, yeah, officials were bad. I thought in the second half they let them play a little bit. It was a lot more fun.
Yeah, it was a lot more fun to watch, and that's the part that I think fans don't really understand is I'll complain more about the calls against the Illini because I am an Illini fan, but I'll also put on there when I don't think there's good calls as well, and I just thought there was a lot of ticky-tack stuff and a lot of things that Brad said, you know, they just don't affect the outcome of the play. And I'm going to do one last advertisement, but please, outlaw the help charge. If you're an offensive player and you beat your man one-on-one, your reward shouldn't be to try to make sure that you stop whatever offensive move before you run into some guy who's trying to come over and act like you're going to wipe him out. In my point, my book is you reward players for good things. So if you've blown by a player, you can certainly help defense, but you can contest the shot. Don't stand there and hope he floats into you and get a foul called. And that comes from a guy who got a lot of help charges, but goodness gracious, watching a charge play or watching, Io dunk a ball. I know which way I'm going to go every time. Defensively, Brad, Illinois held Nebraska in the end down to 37%. It was obviously considerably worse the first 10 minutes of the first half when I think both teams were shooting in the high 20s. What did you see on the defense, and what does the Illini do that really can fluster Big Ten teams on the offensive end?
Well, Illinois is so long. They have positional length. They blocked, seven more shots? They're seventh in the country, 5.9 blocks a game. They had seven block shots tonight, forced 17 turnovers. Nebraska shoots 37% from the floor, 28% from three. They even defended free throws well, 54.5%. And, after the – yeah, Illinois only fouled five times in the second half after 12 fouls in the first half. So that was good. And, they made them one-dimensional. Eight assists on 20 baskets isn't great. But the turnovers were a big part and really does a great job of getting in passing lane, disrupting things, not letting them run their stuff. You also saw them tonight. I pointed this out in our game room. Illinois, they've gone away from the switching defense. They've been fighting through screens. Came out of a dead – it wasn't even a dead – it was a dead ball. Nebraska gets – Danger gets the offensive foul, his fourth foul. He goes to the bench. Immediately, Illinois begins switching screens, five, one on five, and Nebraska turns it over. And that kind of led to the run there because it confused them because they hadn't seen Illinois do that the last couple games, and they hadn't done it the whole game. So now it's like one possession where you just immediately change, and that's where you end up with a turnover. And those are little things, those in-game adjustments that probably most people don't even notice when watching, but that was huge. I also thought that Illinois ran some great after timeout sets tonight, and that's part of coaching as well. So, yeah, I thought their defense was great. I think Illinois' positional length really gives people problem. They do have a couple mismatches. At times I thought Jaden Epps in the first half struggled. And that's where Nebraska got going. But in the second half, he was great. And if Breidenbach was the guy that got Nebraska in the game, you just sometimes tip your hat and say, if that's the guy who's going to beat us, we'll take our chances.
Yeah, yeah. Ed, what did you think on the defensive end?
I like the fact that they really, really play the passing as well. I mean, they get up, that's not the pressure defense, but they're athletic enough to take things away. Brad mentioned little things that people may not notice. I think they really try to keep teams on, they try to keep the opposing team on one side of the floor. I really think personally, Sincere Harris and Jaden Epps deserve defensive player of the game. I mean, I guess you can say, Dane Jaden, because he had tons of blocks. The reason I say that, Nebraska runs really good cuts. I mean, they curl cut so hard and so well that it's almost hard to get through it. And they fought through that. And I think the second half, they were able to give gaps and get off to be able to get through some of those screens. But I thought they did a good job defensively because I've seen Nebraska play before. And some teams just aren't as good. I mean, like when they played Minnesota the other day, they just carved it apart. So I give those guys credit. And they're freshmen, not the fact that, I hung up on age, but I think that shows character. I was really, really impressed with Dan Danger for a guy, for Illinois to lose a guy like Kofi. A lot of people are kind of critical of Dane's defense. I don't think it's that bad. I mean, I really don't. I mean, is he going to be able to go out and guard a 5'10" point guard? No, but how many bigs can do that? He holds his own defensively in the post. When they try to isolate, he moves his feet well enough, And when, you know, we all saw what people tried to lower the shoulder into him. He's so thick up front. I mean, he is almost as thick as Kofi. I'm not saying he is, but it's hard to get shots over him. I mean, he has long arms, man. I would love to know what his wingspan is, because when you get the ball in the post, it's just amazing because they can't score. I mean, and everybody saw the same stat I did. Illinois leads the Big Ten in blocks. I mean, that's impressive. I mean, considering the fact that they lost the 7 foot, you know, All-American down there, you know, a player you're probably never going to see like that in college basketball, at least for the next 20, 30 years. I'm impressed with how they defend, because, like, everybody knows defense carries, you know, offense you can struggle, but defense will go home and away and on neutral courts.
Yeah, and I thought, I'll be honest with you, I was very impressed with a couple things Ty Rogers did. They put him on Breidenbach when he was on his hot streak, and you know, Rogers shut him down there. And there was a couple times that he got guys who were doing well and in one-on-one defense just really stopped them. And then when they passed out of it, I think he did it to Griesel once as well. You know, when they tried to pass out of it, the turnover comes. I was encouraged with that. And there was a couple times that Hawkins had really nice help defense, and it wasn't necessarily his guy, but he slides down to provide some help. And he was causing turnovers that same way when somebody would think they were, you know, free, and he would come in and force somebody to pick the dribble up, not take a charge. And those small plays like that make a big difference in the course of a game. Brad, the next game is Friday night. It's on FS1, 8 p.m. Michigan State travels to Illinois. What a perfect way to get yourself ready for NFL playoff weekend by watching an Illini game. Any early thoughts on that game as we look forward towards Friday?
Yeah, I don't want to see it be like the Michigan State Wisconsin game was tonight, which is like a rock fight, you know, half court, sludge it. And Illinois doesn't want that. They want the ball to move. They want to be good offensively. And I really think Illinois is doing well. Michigan State plays a certain style of defense, which is similar to what like Wisconsin played, to be honest. They're a little more physical, but Illinois should get clean looks again. They should get open shots. They just got to knock them down. The opportunities are going to be there. Defensively, I think they have to contain the guards. The Michigan State guard defense is going to be my key, one of my keys. They have to be able to guard the Michigan State guards, and Illinois guards, you know, they have to be able to guard them. And, you know, that's a struggle sometimes for, you know, Jaden Epps sometimes struggles a little bit on defense. Sincere gets a little foul prone. And so those guys play well, though. I think Illinois will win on Friday. I think this is a good matchup for Illinois.
Ed, what are your thoughts?
Pay attention to the scouting report. I think Jaden Epps and Sensei Harris is going to get a good welcome to the Big Ten and Tom Izzo basketball, because you score a turnover, they're pushing the ball down your throat. They just are. And you have to get back. I mean, you can't sit and celebrate. And, you know, I know tonight I didn't see Jaden Epps. You know, he wasn't careless with the basketball. Against Michigan State, you can't do that. I do think it's going to be a very physical game. I think it's going to be a game of X's and O's on which coach can figure out and make adjustments, because this is a big game for both teams. I mean, and Illinois needs this game more than I think Michigan State, because, one, it's a home game. They can't afford to slip up and lose any more home games because they've lost games that they should have won, which we all know. I just think it's going to be Brad said he doesn't hope it's a defensive battle. I don't want to see that either. But I can see that happening. And the last thing I want to see is the officials take over this game, because you have two coaches who typically are aggressive coaches, and I don't want to see the officials take over the game and we have to watch them. And, you know, and every time down the court, you know, a player has to worry about if there's going to be a foul or not. Do I want them to be physical? A little bit, but I don't want to see a bloodbath either. So I like the chances only because they're home and they're playing well. I know it's going to be a good crowd. I know the momentum is going to be on their side, but I hope they get started off well. I don't want to see them do what they did tonight, because if you start out tonight like you did tonight against Nebraska, against Michigan State, you're going to be down 17-4 or whatever the case may be, because they're going to get to the basket. They always shoot free throws well, And you can darn well bet you Tom Izzo is going to run a lot of good stuff and sets. And that's why I said scouting report is huge this for the rest of this week.
One final question for the two of you. You obviously have done some coaching. I read, you know, just listening to fans talk and reading, you know, Twitter. There's a little bit of an argument that some people say that they would start Epps and bring in Harris, you know, after a few minutes, kind of let the early ref whistles get blown. And also, you know, to have him provide some defensive boost off the bench. You guys think there's any measurable difference between which way you would go if you were coaching in terms of starting Epps versus starting Harris, Brad?
Who cares? Like, I say this sincerely, like, if the kids don't care, then why do fans care? Like, I've never understood
that. They seem to be very invested in this, though, don't they?
I could give two craps who starts in a basketball game. As a coach, you know, sometimes players want to do that, but sometimes, you know what, it's nice to come off the bench. Some guys get a better feel coming off the bench and not starting. You know, I don't get it. Tonight, Harris plays 20 minutes. Epps plays 27.
Yep.
The last game against Wisconsin was very similar. Harris played fewer minutes. Epps played more. I don't know why that. So, you know, it doesn't matter who starts. I think it's for rotational purposes. If you look at it, they don't like having Rodgers, Danger, and Harris on the floor at the same time because you have so many guys who can't shoot then or not shoot or not plus shooters. So I think that's why they like to do that the way they do it because Harris starts and then – you know, you don't have three non-shooters. When you bring in Rodgers, you bring in Epps, and so then it creates – you only have two non-shooters on the floor at a time. So I think that's why they do it, and it doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, no, I didn't imply that it bothered you. Ted, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I disagree, but not, like, in a way that you guys think I do. I disagree unless, you know, if you take the ego out of it, you know, which I don't think this team has any egos – right now, especially, I don't think they have those, you know, that stuff anymore. But I like the fact of having Sincere start. Only reason being is because, you know, for right now, because what offense do you have coming off the bench? You know, RJ has been struggling, but he's starting, you know, to get his groove back. But then you got a guy like Ty Rodgers who doesn't really give you much offensively, you know. So you keep the flow of the game going. And you know, on the flip side of it, it would be nice to start Jaden Epps because, you know, he's a much more of a scorer, I guess, than Sincere right now. And maybe, you know, instead of, you know, the score being 7-2, maybe it's 7-4 or 5 because Jaden can shoot the 3. So I see both sides of it. But I think from a coaching standpoint, I know Underwood has always liked to balance that. Now, what will it look like when Luke Goody comes back? Who knows? Because then you have a guy – and, you know, once he gets his feet under him, that he can provide some scoring. But you don't want a bunch of guys on the bench who just can't score because what is the point of bringing them in the game? And like Brad mentioned, you don't want three guys on the floor that typically can't shoot it because then it becomes a liability.
Yeah, and I also like you know, it's just interesting to see on that. And ultimately, I guess, you know, you're looking at the win. But it has been a subject that seems to fire up Illini fans. So I thought I would get your guys' feedback on that. Brad, any other thoughts based on this game before we kind of wrap up and talk about a couple of other things real quick?
Yeah, you know, it's funny to me. I feel like this team, really, these guys know they're going to play now. When you only have 8 guys, you know, everybody loves depth. I mean, you love having more depth. But I feel like when you only have, you know, 8 guys really that are going to play and you know that going in, it gives, like, guys confidence. I know I'm going to get my minutes. I know I'm going to get my opportunity. And we've seen that. I mean, Ty Rodgers has played more minutes than he's played all year. He's been fantastic. Throw in, you know, I think RJ Melendez, knowing he's going to play, has been good. You know, Sincere Harris knows he's going to play minutes, and he's been good. And so I think all of these guys, Jaden Epps knows he's going to play. I mean, there's no worry about somebody taking your spot. And I just really think that they can just go out and play a little freer and easier. I do think Brad Underwood has changed his approach in games. Now, I know in practice he's still Brad Underwood. That's not going to change. But in games, he's been much more mild on the sideline, not getting as angry when things, you know, go wrong. And but I also think these guys haven't really given him a great many reasons to. They've been playing hard. I mean, they're getting after it. They're, you know, they haven't given him a lot of reasons to get angry, other than a couple bad shots, maybe some shot selection.
Even with the bad shot selection, he didn't like Coleman shot one, like you know, you mentioned, and you could see he didn't like it, and he was just put his hands down easy. A few weeks ago, Brad, you know, you didn't get that.
No, he might have kicked Jeff Alexander. Who knows? So, I think that he's changed kind of his approach to these guys because they're giving effort. And I think that's the only thing you have. As long as they're giving their effort, they're going to make some mistakes and do some silly things. But she really changed the approach and really been impressive. So I'm certainly, you know, I like this Brad Underwood. He seems happier. And of course, you win, things get easier, right? I mean, you tend to be happy when you're winning.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Ed, any final thoughts from you?
Road game, road kill, get the win, and climb up the Big Ten standings. That's my final take.
Yep. One final subject. The Illini ran into a little bit of a bump on the football side today when Avery Jones, the highly ranked center, offensive lineman, I don't know, decommitted is the right word, but took more money from Auburn in an NIL deal. Any thoughts as to what that means to the Illini offensive line for next year? And it seems like coach is not thrilled with it. But in any next moves from your standpoint?
I'll tell you what, I love Brett Bielema's use of Twitter. It's been a lot of fun. So it's fun to hear him do that, or see him do that. You know, I think it hurts obviously because he was a veteran guy. You had a chance to start, you know, four or five veterans and have, you know, a really solid two deep. Now I think center is a concern. I know there's still other guys out there that they may add now. You know, and they have this week up until this weekend. So if they add an offensive line, if not, you're going to see one of the young guys have to kind of step up and fill that void. And I don't know. So it hurts, but at the same time, there is time to kind of get it right and make it better and add that depth at the offensive line. I'm more concerned, honestly, about D line though. You know, I as they go along here, I'd like to see a little more depth on the defensive line.
Yeah, agreed. Ed?
It stings. It hurts. There's no way, you know, around it. Here's my issue with this. Get some NIL money. That's what this is about. It is what it is, and Illinois has to play the game. Bottom line is you better play the game because that kid Brad's right. Bielema tweeted it. I mean, he hashtagged NIL money. You better get it because of, like, the basketball team hasn't figured out whatever plan that the university is looking at, because you are going to lose players. Some of these kids they care about where they go play. But if you have a chance to make one, I'm not saying that Avery Jones, he was offered this kind of money, but if you have a chance to make $1 million and somebody offer you two, I mean, common sense tells you, I'm going to go make $2 million and I'm still going to have a chance to play and have a chance at a bowl. No, you're not at Alabama and Ohio State or Georgia. Notice I didn't say TCU, but having said that, you got to pay guys, man. I mean, it's the way, and the game is changing. Whether we like it or anybody listening to this podcast, it is different. The people are paying money, and you know what? The boosters and whoever they're putting money into, they want to win. Illinois doesn't play it, you're going to continue to lose players, and I'm sorry to say that, but those are facts.
Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe. Of course, if you are interested as a fan, you know, you can go to IlliniGuardians.com. There are other places as well that you can go to. And certainly, you know, even if you're a member of Illini Guys, there's a lot of contacts on there of people who can, you know, help you get involved in the NIL and make your donations as well. And of course, IlliniGuys.com is what powers I on the Illini. So you can go there, 7-day free trial, kick the tires, see what's happening in the transfer portal, go out on the message boards or the forums and talk with other Illini fans, talk with Brad and Ked. It's a great way to do those type of messages, and it's a lot of fun. It's only $99 a year. Folks, we have not went up. I know everything that you think about, your milk, your eggs, your gas, your interest rates, everything's going up. IlliniGuys.com, we're sitting at $99, just like we were when we started. We would love to have more subscribers, so please think about that. Of course, you can listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, our two-hour radio show. Go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and you will go to a list of cities and stations across Illinois. You can find the city closest to you, find the station, the day, either Friday or Saturday, and what time we are on. It's a two-hour show, and you can listen to us. It's a lot of fun. If you expect somebody to scream and yell at players like Stephen A. Smith, don't tune into us because you won't be happy. But if you want some people to have some fun, talk some sports, you might pick up a couple things, and you're going to laugh, then that's the show for you. Please look at that. And as a final thing, we do have other podcasts. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's podcast. He has on people from all over the Illini universe. And, of course, Ked has Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he gets some of the most interesting and intriguing recruits out there and interviews them about what it's like to be an Illini recruiting target. And it's a great primer for anybody who might have a kid who's good enough to be recruited. Trust me, that's a big deal because Illinois is a high-level program. But there's some things you can learn and things you can learn not to do as well. So with that, this is Illini Guy Mike Kegley signing off for Illini Guy Brad Sturdy and, of course, the Director of Recruiting, Kedrick Prince. Thank you so much. We will be back Friday night, very late. And the only thing we would tell you is, go Illini.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.